Good morning, everyone. We're very pleased to see the wonderful Advent candle, wreath, crown, whatever you like to call it, that Angela Richardson has made for us. So thank you, Angela. We are remembering this week the first Sunday in Advent. We're beginning to get ready for Christmas now, as if we haven't already. But now in the church, we are remembering the patriarchs and the people who said that Jesus was going to come in the Old Testament. And it says, Isaiah says in Romans, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. The Gentiles will hope in him. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So this candle means hope. So we'll just light it now.
Do you want to reach for your prayer diaries for December? And I'll say a short prayer, and then at the end we'll pray together the first prayer on Sunday the 1st of December. So have your prayer sheets ready. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, we thank and praise you that your prophets foretold the coming of Jesus Christ. We pray that we will have hope in Jesus Christ, who died to save us. As we prepare for Christmas, help us to constantly remember whose birthday we shall be celebrating on Christmas Day. We worship you and give you thanks for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And let's say the first prayer together. We pray for the light of Jesus to shine in this dark world. Amen. Amen.
Right. No searching questions this morning. The most searching question is probably, do you want tea or coffee when you get out there this morning? So I don't know if that's good news or bad news. But it is 1st of December, and we have started on the road of Advent, on the spiritual journey of Advent, through to remembering the birth of Christ. But unfortunately, we also seem to get caught up in the rush towards Christmas, or Xmas, as it's sometimes written. And I feel somehow it's not so much that we're rushing towards it, but it is rushing towards us. It's a bit like a train, isn't it? You know, and it's coming, and there actually is nothing you can do. It is coming, and the nearer it gets, the faster it seems to happen. And that's all the materialistic side, perhaps trees and decorations, and all that side of Christmas. It is coming, it's approaching. And also approaching is January the 8th. January the 8th? Any offers? It is. But it was also the day when Mark preached his last sermon here and led our service back in 2012. How could you forget? But it is. It's 2 years. It will be 2 years in January. And being realistic, even if we saw somebody this week, it's very unlikely that we would have someone in post as our minister before the summer. So it's going to be over 2 years that we will have been looking. And we had that verse for the year, for this year, from Hebrews chapter 12. And could we have it up, Paul? It's the bit in yellow that we picked out. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And as we come to the end of 2 years, I know it's going to be on beyond that, it seems a very appropriate verse for us that we need to persevere, to keep going. As I talk to people, I'm aware that there's a wide spectrum of how people feel about our position. And the two ends of this spectrum, one is that it's easy to get into a sort of mentality that it's okay. Actually, it's all okay, isn't it? This becomes normality that we don't have a minister. And we stop seeking the Lord for the minister, for the church, and seeking the Lord for the church. And it's easy to get into leaving it to other people to do the praying, whether it's the Friday night prayer meeting or just the corporate prayer meeting, and I do hope you're all going to come on Thursday, or leave it to the ministerial selection committee, the little team that meets and prays every Tuesday and meets with candidates and looks at profiles. We'll leave it to them. It's easy to fall into that sort of approach. But at the other end of the spectrum, there are those who have become anxious. Why is it taking so long, I've been asked. Shouldn't we be doing something? And almost there's a belief that God has forgotten us. Some see this as a time of strain, a time of difficulty, even perhaps a time of suffering without a minister. Why doesn't God answer us? Doesn't he care? Doesn't he understand? And yet, we would all say that he knows what true suffering and pain is, and he also knows what it's like to be abandoned and to be left. Paul said in his letter to the Corinthians that our troubles are just momentary, momentary troubles he spoke of. So two ends of the spectrum and a lot in between. Now, after Mark left, the next Sunday, which would have been naturally January the 15th, I spoke and I led the service. And I gave a brief history of this church, just reminding us, and for some people it wasn't a reminder, it was the first that they'd heard of the history of the church and how God had always provided and how he had done it. And reminding us that Jesus is the head of the church, not the elders. Jesus is the head of this church, and that he's seated at the right hand of the Father, where he intercedes for each one of us and for his church. He is the head of the church, and he knows how we feel. He knows that some are inclined to give up, to move elsewhere, to look elsewhere. He knows our hearts, and just as importantly, he knows our weaknesses. And he says, look to me. Fix your eyes upon me, because I gave up everything for you. I endured the cross for you. Look at what I've done in and for this church. And as I drafted this, and unusually for me, I sat down with a pencil and paper and I just scribbled very quickly. God said to me as clearly as I ever hear anything, because I don't tend to get voices like that, but I felt he said, why would you think I would abandon you now? After all I have done, why would you think that I would abandon you now? And even this seemingly lengthy time, this waiting, I believe is all part of his plan. And we've just sung, I wrote it down, oh no, you never let go. Through the calm and through the storm, oh no, you never let go. In every high and every low, oh no, you never let go of me. He never lets go of me. He never lets go of us, his church. We can trust him, and we need to run with perseverance that race which is marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Let's persevere. Let's fix our eyes upon Jesus. Now, we do need a minister. I think the person that we described in our profile is a good description of the sort of person that we need, and that's the person that the MSC is looking for. We are a church with many gifted people. There's no denying it. People leading the ministry areas, people leading discipleship groups and all sorts of other groups. Many gifted people. The band this morning, as Roy said. And we can get by. We can even grow. But I think we're all probably agreed that we do need that God-gifted person with a vision and the leadership abilities. And I firmly believe that God will bring that person to us at the right time. We need to keep going. And until he does that, we need to get on with the job in hand, which is sharing the gospel and making disciples. And I'd speak, not just for myself, speak for the other elders too, in thanking everyone who's doing exactly that, who's getting on with sharing the gospel and making disciples, building relationships with people. The ladies' evening, perfect example. As Debbie said, it might have started Utangi, but actually it was building relationships. Lesson music, the coffee shop, brunch, Monday Bible readings. For anyone who is leading anything, taking responsibility or engaged in anything, we do thank you. All the ministry areas, we thank you. But let's keep it up. Let's keep going. The world says, doesn't it, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. Good stuff. But actually, when the going gets tough, we need to look to Jesus. And we need to recognise that we are weak and that we need him. And that we cannot do it on our own. And we need to fix our eyes on him. Yes, keep going. We need to persevere, but we need to fix our eyes on him. And Christmas actually is a really good time to fix our eyes on Jesus. Because he's what it's all meant to be about, isn't he? And actually, we need to let people know that we think that's what it's all about. And not be hesitant to say, forget all of this, all the trimmings. Actually, it's about the Son of God who came to earth that Christmas day. We need to show that our trust is in Jesus and not be distracted by all the material things that are going on around us. We need to show that there is something and someone more important than presents, than decorations, than food, and even than family. We say it's a family time, but the Lord is more important. And we need to live this out, live out our faith in Jesus together as a church, to persevere together and together fix our eyes on him. And I believe that at Christmas time, actually people are open to us doing that, because it's not quite a totally non-Christian country yet. And people do know the name of Jesus. And they will not be surprised if we mention it and if we say this is what Christmas is all about. It might be news to some, but I believe to many in a place like Brom, they will understand and they may even expect it. We just need to do it. Now, there is an Alpha course in January. And the discipleship group leaders have been asked to make sure that everyone's aware of that who goes to a discipleship group, and that we pray into it. And especially we pray into, who could I bring? Who could I bring along? And this was up here for the ladies' evening yesterday, but I left it there deliberately. Because people are searching. We just need to help them find the answer. And Christmas is a good time, too, to ask people to come to things like the Nativity service on the 15th. Come to the Nativity service. Stay on, have a meal with us. We're okay, really. You know, we're safe to be with. Invite people to the carol services, because they are so well done. People are blown away by what they find when they come to the carol service. Invite them even to come on Christmas Day. Say to people, Jesus was born, we celebrate it on Christmas Day. Come and join us. It's not long, just 45 minutes and you'll be back with the turkey. But ask people. Let's be bold. Listen to the Spirit. Ask God, what do I say to this person? And then be bold. Talk to people at brunch. Talk to people at the coffee shop. Let's listen to the Spirit. Let's persevere. And not give up. Let's fix our eyes on Jesus and not stop doing so either when the verse changes at the end of this year, because there'll be a new verse next year. But we won't let up on persevering and the call to do it. Paul says to the Corinthians, I refer to it, the temporary difficulties. He says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is temporary, for what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Let's persevere. As we come to sharing the bread and wine, if you're a visitor with us this morning and you know and love the Lord Jesus as your Saviour, then you're very welcome to share in the bread and the wine. If you don't want to, don't be embarrassed. Just pass it on when it comes to you. I'm just going to read some words from Colossians, which describe Jesus, chapter 1, verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Paul urges us to consider ourselves before we share in the bread and the wine, to look at our lives and to bring things to the Lord in confession that need to be confessed. And we're just going to have a moment to do that, and then we'll say some words together. Father, by your Spirit, just place into our minds things that we need to bring before you and to say sorry for. Things where we have gone away from your will and followed our own desires. Paul also writes that Jesus has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he, the Father, loves, and in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We thank you, Father, that our sins are forgiven, that you look upon us clothed in the righteousness of your Son, that you have done what we ourselves could never do, put ourselves right with you. You have done it for us through the blood of Jesus. And we bless you and thank you and worship you for that this morning. Amen. If those who are going to be serving would like to come up and join me. Paul writes those well-known words. We all know them, don't we? But we will read them anyway from 1 Corinthians. He says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me.' For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Jesus gave thanks for the bread and the wine, and Tony's going to lead us in a prayer of thanksgiving.
Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we have just been reminded that the Lord Jesus instituted the drinking of bread and the eating of wine. Lord, we thank you that we can do this now, 2,000 years later, because we're still remembering that great sacrifice which you made on our behalf. Lord, it was for our sins that you did this, and we thank you, and we thank you now, and ask you to bless this bread and wine to our use, and to remember, and to help us to remember that it was for you, for us, that you died. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for us. Amen.
Amen. We'll eat the bread as we receive it. As children of the new covenant that is in Jesus' blood, let's drink this together and remember. Remember that he's coming again. Amen. And Father, our Father, as we have been raised with Christ, help us to set our hearts on things above, where Jesus is seated at your right hand. Help us to set our minds on things above, not on earthly things. For we have died, and our life is now hidden with your Son Jesus in God. And when Christ, who is our life, appears, then, Lord, we know that we also will appear with him in glory. Amen. Jim's got some verses he wants to share with us.
In Neil's opening remarks about worship, he mentioned the use of a couple of choruses from the Messiah. And also, he's spoken later about the difficulties that might be perceived with an interregnum that lasts for 2 years. I was privileged to be able to hear the whole of the Messiah last night. And the minister at Bunyan meeting described it beforehand as an act of worship. But the first opening section of the Messiah is familiar words from the Authorized Version. Comfort ye my people. And in the circumstances we find ourselves, it seemed to me that that was appropriate. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, and that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. And as we're in the season of Advent, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, and every mountain hill and hill made low. And the rough ground shall become level, and the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Lord, I thank you that we know the end of the story as well as the beginning. And 2 hours after those words of comfort ye my people, ends in the glorious, worthy is the Lamb. Amen.